Welcome to True Hauntings and Scary Stories, where we alternate between spooky conversations and short scary stories. I'm your host, Cynthia Sear. Today, we have a returning guest. She was on episode 31. We did a reviewing Let the Right One In movie, and I really liked that movie, and it was a lot of fun reviewing it with her. So today, we have Heather with us again. Hi, Heather. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back. I'm excited.
Awesome. Well, today Heather is with us because she has spooky experiences and all kinds of interesting things to talk about that are right up our alley. So first, Heather, I'll give you a chance to tell us about your show again and what it's all about.
Yeah, sure. I have a podcast called Watching Netflix Without You, where I review with, as I like to say, an assortment of delightful guests, various Netflix original feature films and documentaries. And coming up soon, we're going to start reviewing a few limited series as well. And that's pretty much all it is. But it's specific to Netflix originals. So if you have a Netflix account and you're trying to figure out what to watch next, pop on over to Watching Netflix Without You and see if anything over there tickles your fancy.
Nice. That new movie that just came out that was like a smash hit, Red Notice, is that an original?
I believe it is, yes. And I need to watch it. I haven't watched it yet, but yeah. I like that cast. So it's looking fun. Yeah.
I'm a big fan of The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, and also big fan of Ryan Reynolds. Just hilarious. Yes. I can't imagine those two in one movie.
It's going to be fantastic. And you know what? You know what I love about The Rock? His acting skill and ability has come so far from when you look at his early movies where he was just kind of like another Arnold Schwarzenegger or Chuck Norris type person to now where like there are some movies I've seen him in where I was like, he could like be nominated for awards for that performance. Like he's really, but he does like to do goofy things as well, which is always fun. So
he does. But I have to say about him, I feel like he can have a big, huge range. I can see him in dramatic things, being serious, emotional things I could see him in, and of course the goofy stuff. He's hilarious in the goofy stuff.
He is. He even sings. He was in Moana.
Yes, and he has some pipes. So he's like the whole package. I don't know.
He's everything. Also, I have a fantasy that The Rock shows up and saves my life. Sometimes it's a fire and he like slings me over his shoulder and runs out of the building with me. Sometimes I'm in a raging whitewater and he comes with a boat and just like with his pinky fingers, like, come on in. I gotcha. I like The Rock.
Oh my gosh. Him, Jason Momoa, love him to pieces too.
Oh yeah, he's cool too.
I pick on my husband about Jason Momoa all the time. If he's on TV and I'm walking through the room, I will like obviously annoyingly stop in my tracks and be like, wait, is that Jason? My husband's like, calm down, honey.
Have you seen Dune then?
No, I have it. I haven't seen it yet. You know, screening, I can stream it or whatever, but I haven't yet.
Oh, yeah.
Is it worth it?
I have not seen it yet. I've been meaning to. It's a rather lengthy movie and it's not a Netflix original. So right now I'm kind of jam-packed trying to keep up with movie watching for all my episodes.
Yeah.
But over Christmas break, I have no recordings scheduled. So I plan to just catch up on some non-Netflix movies.
Nice. Tomorrow I have every intention of watching my favorite version of A Christmas Story, A Christmas Carol, sorry. I like the 1938 version, I think it is.
Okay.
Super old, but I can't explain it. It's my absolute favorite. So I watch it every year.
That's awesome. I don't even think I've seen that one. I've definitely seen Scrooged. Have a soft spot in my heart for Scrooged. But I will tell you what, I got to go with Muppets Christmas Carol.
Oh, really?
Love the Muppets one a lot. Michael Caine plays Scrooge. It's fantastic.
Nice. All right. So before you get into your story, I always like to ask people, have you always kind of believed in ghosts or spirits or whatever? Or did your experiences change you? Or like, what's the dynamic there?
I grew up with a religion. And so instilled in me from an early age was this idea that we are separate from our own body, that there's you and then there's your body, which is not the same thing. So I've always believed that, and I've had experiences enough to confirm that belief in me as I've gone through life. Starting very early on, what's true to me in these circumstances is ghosts, okay? But other people might think, no, that's this, that's that, that's some other logical explanation. And they might be right, but I'm going to go with ghosts. And I'm going to start with one story, if I may, that I didn't even think I was going to tell. But when I was young, like 5 to 7 years old, I would constantly leave my own body and I would be looking at my own face from an exterior point of view. This happened to me quite a bit as a kid, and I usually would try to leave. I'd be like, oh, well, that's over. Goodbye. And I'd try to like leave whatever the space was, and something, and I don't know what, some power would always suck me back in to the body. And I would wake up, because it's usually happened when I was sleeping. So some people are going to go, well, you were dreaming. But I know the unrealistic feel of a dream. I know when I'm in dreams and recognize while I'm dreaming that it is a dream. So when something like this happened that feels so realistic, it's hard for me to categorize it as a dream. Mm-hmm. But perhaps it was. But I would wake up from that feeling very exhilarated, like, oh, my gosh, that was so cool. And I would immediately try to do it again. But so whatever was causing that to happen was not necessarily in my control. I don't know how I would do it because I could never conscientiously do it. And then after I got a little older, it just kind of stopped happening. So,
Wow.
But that was really confirming for me this idea that essentially a human being is a spiritual being as apart from the body that you have.
Mm-hmm. Have you heard about the one scientist that said he, a long time ago, mid-1900s, I think, he did some experiment where he had a subject who had volunteered and they were dying. And he had them laid out on this table that was a scale and it had lips, so, you know, on the table so that the person was there. And as they died, he continuously weighed them. And once they passed and breathed their last, they lost like 7 grams of weight or something, or 7 ounces. I think it was grams. I don't remember. They lost weight, but nothing had left the table. So his theory was that's how much your soul weighs, basically.
Interesting. Well, I don't know. If I agree with that, but that is a very interesting experiment. What is it that leaves after we die? Is that our consciousness or whatever? Does it have a little weight to it? That's very fascinating. I had not heard of that experiment, by the way.
It's pretty controversial. Pretty cool. A lot of people don't.
I'm sure.
You know, but yeah.
Well, I'll say this. When you go into an experiment with a premise in mind that you're trying to prove, sometimes you can ignore evidence to the contrary of what you're trying to prove. And when your premise is that the human soul doesn't exist and you're trying to prove that the human soul doesn't exist, you might ignore things that indicate that it actually does exist. That's my 2 cents on that.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, fast forward. I went to a private boarding school in a very rural area in the United States of America for most of my education. It had a religious history, and there were some experiences that I had there. One is not a specific incident, but there was a certain location where I would walk through, and every single time I walked through it, I would hear somebody call my name, Heather. And I would stop. It was very distinct. And I'd turn around, like, who called me? Nobody there. Now, once or twice this happening, I could call it somebody pranking me, right? But a few things to note that kind of make me think this was something else is, one, the frequency with which it happened. Countless times, I could not even tell you how many. to the point where I actually started just ignoring it as I walked through this. It was like down the bottom of the stairs into a basement door and around a corner, right? That I, and sometimes I just wouldn't go that way because it'd be like somebody's going to call Heather and they're going to not be there.
Wow.
Right. So because this was kind of down the bottom of a winded staircase and then around a corner, there's a lot of places for a prankster to hide. But not if I go looking for them. There's nowhere for them. They can hide around a corner, but there's not like a closet or a curtain they can pull or something to hide. So I would theoretically hear them running away as I came to investigate. And I never heard that. It wasn't like somebody running away or giggling or pranking me. It was just a distinct voice calling my name. And then me not being able to find the source of who called me. That happened frequently throughout. I was there 11 years at this school, and it happened throughout the 11 years that I was there.
Wow.
And it never has happened to me anywhere else.
If that was a prankster, that's a dedicated prankster.
I know,
right? You know
right?
what I mean?
Yeah, that's another reason why I take it out of the prank category. Who carries on a prank? Unless it was my brother, and you know what? I should probably ask him. I might need to ask him about that. Were you just out of curiosity, whenever I would go down in that basement hall, were you calling my name and then hide?
Wow.
I wouldn't be surprised.
For 11 years.
For 11 years straight. Well, here's the other thing. He left there before I did, a couple of years before I did. So if he was, if he passed that torch on to someone, it's just unrealistic as a prank.
Yeah.
In the face of all of that. But I will note it's never happened to me anywhere else I've ever been. And the people that founded that school also have some kind of amazing stories, like literally being like, hey, if you're in here, flip the light. And then the light goes on.
Nice.
And there's a gate at the bottom of this long hill. And there used to be in the old days, like a gatekeeper at the gate. And so a lot of the early people have experiences with the gatekeeper still hanging around. You know, there's a lot of creepy things here. I will note, I absolutely loved this school and had the time of my life there. And I consider that I got a very good education and had some very good influences from teachers and good people in my life. It's just that there was ghosty things that also happened in amongst all of that.
Ghosty things.
Ghosty
That's
things.
That's what I'm calling it from now on. I love that. Ghosty things. I had somebody call me the ghost lady in Subway the other day.
Oh, that's perfect.
I did. Oh my gosh. Anyway.
Welcome to True Hauntings. I'm the ghost right. lady, and we're going to talk about ghosty things.
Exactly.
So another incident that happened was at my house that I lived in. Well, I saw just a random man sitting on the couch one day as the door to the living room was open and I was standing in the kitchen. I went to the refrigerator, saw a man, and then he was just gone. Like, it was very weird. And I stared at that spot for a very long time. And it wasn't, what's the word for when, like, a physical object takes the form of a human or a familiar shape, and then you confuse it with that thing, even though it's just a random formation, like that face on the planet Mars, that structure that looks just like a face, but it's probably just a rock formation that at that exact time that picture was taken at that angle with the sunlight angle, it looks like a face. It wasn't, there was nothing there that I could have possibly confused with a human body sitting on the couch. And it wasn't my parents. They were not home at the time. My brother was not home at the time. My parents, by the way, worked at the school. So I did not board there specifically, but there was nobody else in the house except me at that time. So that was kind of creepy, but he never came back. But here's the kicker of a story for my experience at this place. In my like junior, senior year, I was up late studying one night in a very large room, which was an entire floor of the school. And there were two doors, on one on either side. I couldn't see either of the doors from where I was sitting. But you could always hear the door open. So the door to the right of where I was sitting opened. And I looked up expectantly to see who was coming into the room. I heard the footsteps coming. And then the disembodied footsteps walked right on past me all the way down the length of the room. And the door on the other side swung open and shut.
Oh, snap.
And I was like, But no, bye-bye. I left all my books, nothing. I didn't clean up anything. I didn't turn off the lights. Those were all the rules. Take your materials with you. Turn off the lights if you're the last one. Did none of those things. Rushed to my room and I went, locked the door. Not that that would have done any good against a ghost.
Right.
Now, again, this could have been a prank, but I don't know how they would have pulled that off. How do you pull off that prank?
No, I don't see that as a prank.
Now,
that's intense.
Yeah, it is intense. Well, here's, I posted this up on Reddit one day and somebody goes, well, were you super tired at the time? And I admitted, well, yeah, I was kind of quite tired at the time, sure. And they're like, oh, sleep paralysis, definitely sleep paralysis. And I was like,
Were you asleep?
I was not asleep. And I'll tell you something, I do experience occasional bouts of sleep paralysis. Here's what happens for me. It does happen at a time when I am extremely tired, overtired, like I've not slept well for some time. And it usually happens when I'm trying to catch up on sleep at a not usually sleep specific time, like in the morning or something after the kids go to school and I have a few hours. I'll be like, I'm going to try to catch up on sleep. And this is the scenario in which I experienced the sleep paralysis, so much so that I've actually kind of stopped trying to catch up on sleep sometimes because it's so unpleasant when this happens.
Wow.
But I will wake up, but my body will still be asleep. So I'll be aware of my entire body and I'll be in a black void knowing that I'm aware of my body, but that I cannot move it. I seem to have no control over it whatsoever, including the regular functions of breathing, heartbeat, etc. Like it's stifling. So I used to go into full-on panic mode trying to get out of this somehow, and I'd eventually manage to yank myself out with all my might and take a breath, finally. What I've learned to do is just relax, okay? Concentrate very heavily, calmly, and just with all my might sit up out of bed, take a huge breath, and then be like, and not going back to sleep. Great.
Yikes, that's terrible.
I know. Well, that's been my sleep paralysis. It doesn't happen too often, but, you know, probably 3 or 4 times a year, maybe I'll experience that. So right away I was like, but if that was sleep paralysis, it's never matched a single other sleep paralysis episode that I've had. A. B. Some people see full-on horned demons when they're having, quote, sleep paralysis. And I'm like, this is, no. Okay. Here's what's happening. Poltergeist is what's happening. That is what sleep paralysis is. If you're seeing full-on demons and, like, you feel trapped, and it's a poltergeist. It's an evil ghost come to trap you. That's my theory of sleep paralysis. So I feel like when I'm in a sleep paralysis episode, it's just some evil, like, goblin ghost being like, I'm going to trap you here. You won't be able to move. I'm half joking about this theory. But right. I just find it weird that we can ascribe seeing a literal demon to, which, to be clear, has not been my personal experience, but I know of others who have that experience.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah, and call it, quote unquote, sleep paralysis. I'm like, like after taking LSD hits or something? Like, what? They're seeing a whole demon. I don't know if that's a great explanation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess my final story that I was planning to tell actually is not a story from me. It's a story from a friend of mine whose permission I did not ask to tell this story, but I feel like she won't mind.
Okay.
And I told this story on another podcast a few days ago that I guested on. But this one creeps me out more than any of the stuff that's happened to me. She has 2 children. When her son was around 4-ish years of age, he was sitting on a couch, looking out a window at their house, and says to her, hey, Mom, I think there's some people out there that need help. And she looks out the window, doesn't see anybody. She's like, honey, what people? He's like, oh, those people right there. They look like they're sick. They look like they need help. And she says, oh, you know what? I bet they're going to get, she said some motherly thing to make him like, oh, it's his imagination, kind of just placate him and then he'll forget about it, which is what happened. Except that fast forward a few years and her daughter is now 4 years old, sitting on the same couch, same time of year, same time of day, looking out the same window, suddenly says to her, hey, I think there's some people out there, Mom, that need help. And she's like, oh, what is happening? And she comes and doesn't see any people. And she says, well, honey, what people? And the daughter goes, yeah, they look like they're sick. They look sick. And she's just like, what? So she did the same thing, placated her daughter with, you know, reassurances, and then was like, what in the world? And she doesn't believe in ghosts. So her theory is dimension crossovers of different dimensions. Because apparently there is some scientific evidence now that other dimensions exist in the same time as our dimension, which is kind of freaky. But
wow,
I'm like, yeah, no, there's ghosts, though. It was ghosts.
It's always rough when a little kid does that. My oldest is 21 now. But when he was just barely 4 years old, he asked me, Mommy, does God wake us up in the morning? And at the time, we were religious. And so I gave him your typical age appropriate, like, well, sort of. What do you mean? What do you mean by that? And he says, well, does he wake you up in the morning? Like, physically, does he wake you up? And I'm like, well, no, not literally, but, you know, technically God allows you to wake up or whatever. I gave him like one of those kind of explanations. And he said, oh, I said, why do you ask? And he said, because somebody tickles my feet in the morning to wake me up.
Oh. And you're sure it wasn't your husband?
No, it wasn't. It was. Yeah. Okay. So that shook me a little bit. But that house, I had several experiences in that house, and it was my son's room that was the most active. So he would often come into our room in the middle of the night and sleep on the floor next to our bed because he didn't want to sleep in his room.
Oh, yeah, so, I'm sure. That is, that's creepy.
But he said somebody was tickling his feet in the morning to wake him up. Like, well, no, he doesn't do that.
Yeah, I mean, some ghosts are friendly and some are just creepy, creepy fuckers. I mean, you know.
Right? And nothing just, like, you know, maniacal ever happened in the house. It was just all weird, creepy things. Like, I saw a few different shadow figures. The man that you saw on the couch, was it like a in color man or was it a black shadow figure?
There were browns. There was a beard. Kind of almost old timey looking clothes and just chilling like, hey, this is my couch in my living room. And I was like, please no. And then he was just gone. Like I blinked and he was gone.
Wow.
So
the episode that just released from me today, I have a guest on who talks about some stuff that happened to him. And that is a really cool episode. When is today? Today's the 19th. So that would be episode 37. He tells some pretty cool stories about like weird things happening in his house too. You know, the classic, you go into the kitchen and every cabinet is open.
Yeah.
That happened to him for reals.
Oh, wow.
He's the first person I've ever met that actually happened to. I've only ever seen it in TV shows and movies and things.
But that's amazing. I mean, like little tiny thing happened to me one time. And this one's probably just attributable to a shift in the wind or pressure in the air. But my door was stuck open and I was kind of far from it and in a lazy mood. And I was like, oh, I wish the door would close. And it literally did right at that moment. I was like,
well, that's helpful. That's a helpful
thank you, Casper.
You should have been nice. Like, I wish the dishes were done.
I was like, I wish this whole room was clean and dusted with a bed made.
Yeah. That's a pretty cool one. I don't know. I think ghosts are, I don't know. I go with the energy theory myself. So I feel like, well, scientifically, human bodies do have energy in them. That's how your heart beats and your, you know, electric currents and things. So I feel like when you die, energy, to my knowledge, can't be destroyed. You know, energy is energy is energy, and it can move and things, but I don't think you can destroy it. So I feel like when you die, maybe your energy keeps on, and maybe it can disperse into the environment around it or whatever, or maybe it can stay together. Maybe that's where your consciousness is or not. I don't know. I'll let you know when I die.
Okay.
Come back and let you know.
I'd be interested. But I Here's what I think about that. I don't believe that there is the soul to me is something completely the material world. So there's no energy in it. There's no thought in it. There's no time in it. There's no, you know, and it's hard to conceptualize something like that because our lives are so ingrained into the material world that we see things from that perspective most easily. So, but yeah, I think it's, and I think this might be a hard, why sometimes science has a hard time with the idea of the, of spirituality or the human soul, because it doesn't follow all those laws and rules that we're used to. It's sort of, to me, like, if I want to talk about for a second, which I know you're an atheist, but like my concept of God is not that this is some single entity that has now dictated all of our lives now and forever to come, but that it is, in essence, free of thought, free of emotion, free of all of those physical things that we understand, and yet does dictate the laws. Like, what's the word? There's an English word. It's a basic English word that I can't remember right now. But it's like when something is superior to something else in terms of it calls the shots, it's not perhaps omnipotent. But just in other words, like, I feel like God, whatever that is under no obligation to answer to the physical material world, because whatever that higher power is, put it here for reasons I don't know, and I don't know if anybody really does, right? And I think what we're essentially striving all of us to do is to free ourselves from it somehow. Mm-hmm. And I think we've gotten really lost along the way. And one of the things in Christianity, for example, their whole solution is, okay, you lead a very moral, good life, never doing anything wrong, and you will be rewarded with infinity. And, you know, and I'm like, I feel like that's just too easy. That's just too easy. That can't be how easy it is to free yourself from the constraints of a material world. So there has to be another way to do it. And I think religion, any religion, is sort of deeply ingrained in trying to figure that problem out. And I think that's what religions largely have in common with each other. You know, I don't know, didn't mean to go all philosophical there. I know I'm probably saying things that a lot of people strongly disagree with, but you know, it's fun to talk about.
Yeah, I love discussing stuff like that. It doesn't bother me at all. I love getting other people's perspectives on things, and I'm pretty open about things. I do have my own beliefs and or lack of beliefs, if you want to say it that way. I don't know. But yeah, I find it very interesting. I've always thought of organized religion as human beings trying to explain the things around them that they couldn't understand.
I think that's probably a pretty good assessment, especially back in the days where we didn't have science to explain things. But I'll go back to me, science is an explanation of things in the material world. And and when it tries to deny, despite evidence to the contrary, the existence of a different realm, the spiritual realm, essentially, then to me, I kind of go, well, you have a limited use, science, okay? Because science isn't going to help me conquer this material world spiritually, at least not to my way of thinking. Mm-hmm. So
I always struggled staying at my grandparents' house because I would lay at night trying to fall asleep and constantly hear like combat boot style walking from one end of the third floor to the other and back and forth for like half an hour to an hour straight. Everybody else I can see in the room asleep.
Huh.
Like I just as a kid would sit there and just be like, what is that? No one else is here. There's literally no reason why this should be happening. I would see like floating oval shaped, you know, like the mirage you see above a hot road.
Yes.
Like that kind of shimmeriness, but in the form of an oval floating in the middle of the room. Huh. Like,
interesting.
I can't explain that. Well, and like voices, full on voices. that are coming from upstairs where no one else is.
Are you sure there were not some squatters in there? Like people that said, that's happened. People that go secretly in to live inside the walls of someone's house. Like they live there for X right. amount of time and nobody ever knew they were there. That's creepier than any ghost to me right there.
Yeah, it is. Oh, man. Yeah, it is. Because I don't trust people. So,
no.
But that's what I say about energies too, or spirits or whatever. Because I feel like if someone was a bad person in life, mm-hmm. like they had negative mojo or energy or whatever, then when they die, if their energy does stick around, that wouldn't be positive energy either.
True.
I feel like if they were bad in life, they're probably still going to be bad in death, if that mm-hmm. makes sense. So I never really trusted the energies in Nana and Grandpa's house because the people that lived there before them were not good people.
Oh, okay.
So I don't think they're good people in death either. Now, nothing bad ever happened there, to my knowledge. No scratching or biting or anything okay. like that. But just like when they had work done on the house when I was a kid, they had to fix it up, renovate it a lot. They had a hard time keeping workers there. People would walk off the job
Interesting.
Because of things that happened to them in the house. And these are like, you know, physical construction worker style dudes.
Yeah.
Just was like, nope, I'm good.
They're like, you know what? Don't need the money that bad. Bye-bye.
Yeah, right?
You know what? For whatever reason, this reminded me of my favorite scary story from when I was a kid, mm-hmm. which I told to my 7-year-old, and she absolutely loved it, made me tell it to her over and over again. Would you like to hear my elementary school favorite scary story?
Yes. Lay it on me.
There's an old lady. She lives alone.
Uh-huh.
Except she has a tiny little toy poodle as a pet dog. Mm-hmm. Every night before she gets into bed, her little poodle scurries under the bed to his little bed that's under her bed. She puts her hand under. He licks the hand. She gets in bed.
Oh, no.
And goes to sleep.
I know where this is going. Woo!
One night, she awakens to the sound of something dripping and goes to investigate. She finds that the kitchen faucet has been left on a little bit, is annoyed with herself, turns it off, goes back to bed, puts her hand under the bed, dog licks the hand, gets in bed, falls back asleep, wakes up a little bit later to the sound of dripping, goes into the bathroom, checks the faucet, it's fine, still hears the dripping coming from the shower, opens the shower curtain, and there is her poodle hanging from the nozzle, dead, dripping blood
no.
onto the shower floor. On the wall in blood is written, "Humans can lick hands too."
Ooh.
Dun, 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 the end. That was such a creepy story.
Who told such that to you story. As a kid?
I don't even remember. It was the 90s, like late yeah. 80s, early 90s. We had no boundaries back then. Just be like, you want to hear something super creepy?
I love it. When I was little, we went, in fact, my husband's mom was my brownie scout leader when I was like 7 or whatever. And she took our little troop or whatever. She took us on a little camping trip, but it was in these cabins on this camping grounds or whatever. And somebody had written with marker on the cabin wall of the one my group was in. They'd written this really short, scary story about some girl that had stayed at this camping site years ago. And that I can't remember the details, but somehow she got her head cut off and they tied it back on to her with a green ribbon. And supposedly she haunts the place. And if you see a girl with a green ribbon on around her neck, it's this girl whose head got cut off or whatever. And freaked out. And my husband's mom, my mother-in-law, she ended up sleeping in the cabin with us because none of us would go to sleep.
Oh, man. That was the favorite thing about camping for me was when we get around the bonfire and just tell scary stories. Mm. Oh, and then I'd be terrified getting into the tent like, oh, we're all going to die tonight.
Yeah, that was fun for me when I told scary stories to my friends because I just told them all the true stories from Nanny and Grandpa's house. And I was like, listen, guys, this is legit a true story. So, and then one time I had a sleepover at my grandparents' house for one of my birthday parties. And so, you know, that was a blast. I'm pretty sure we kept my grandparents up the whole night. You know,
oh, I bet.
We'd creep up to the third floor and like somebody would panic. Oh, I saw something move. All these girls would scream and run downstairs. And like, yeah, it was a whole thing.
You know, the other thing I love is a good urban legend. Have you ever heard of Rudolph Fence?
I don't know that I have. No.
I believe I'm saying that name correctly. Sometime in the early 1900s, supposedly there was a news story about this. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know about the ethical quality of journalism during that time, but according to the legend, the story goes like this. A man appeared as if from nowhere suddenly in the middle of a street. I forget the city, but I'm going to go with New York City. In New York City, and immediately was hit by an automobile and killed. When the investigators came to find out who he was and searched in his pockets, they found documentation, a currency that was no longer in use, documentation that was like real old school, but it looked new, like it was the kind of identification, say, they used 40 years ago, but like looked like it had just been made.
Nice.
They find these kinds of items on him. They're very confused. And the name of the identification was Rudolph Fence. Mm-hmm. So come to investigate, again, supposedly urban legend, the investigator goes and finds out that a man named Rudolph Fence did in fact disappear, never to be seen again 40 years ago. He was also dressed, by the way, in old timey clothes that were no longer the fashion. Mm-hmm. And eyewitnesses say that he appeared as if from nowhere, right? And that is just such a fascinating story to me. I kind of want it to be true. I kind of feel like it might have been made up on a slow news week. Mm-hmm. And they were like, hey, you know what would be cool? If I tried out some of my fiction I've been wanting to write. But I just love a little urban legend like that, or the man from, what is it? I'm going to Google it. This one's great. Sorry. I don't know if this is interesting to anyone.
No, this is,
love a great urban legend.
Spooky stuff I'm all about. In fact, on New Year's Eve, I'm doing my episode that drops on New Year's Eve is going to be New Year's Eve related legends.
Ooh, yeah. Nice.
So
it's this urban legend, the man from Taured. I guess they made a little movie short out of this. I would love to watch that. It's about 10 minutes long on YouTube. A traveling businessman is detained by airport security and he discovers that the country he departed does not exist. Story is that this man was detained, I believe it was in Japan, because his passport listed like his from country as a country, Taured, that does not exist. And he showed them on the map. He's like, it's right here. It should be right here, somewhere like between France and somewhere around where France is. He's like, but it wasn't on the map he was looking at. And he was very confused by that. Mm-hmm. And he had like travel stamps from other places that didn't really exist in his passport.
Wow.
And so they put him in a room like in the hotel because they were detaining him at the airport. I guess at that time there was no airport jail. I don't know. And when they came back after trying to investigate this guy more, he was just gone out of the room and nobody ever saw him again.
Wow.
So that's a really fascinating story as well.
So he was from places that don't exist to us, but he still spoke our language?
Yes.
Huh.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. That's cool.
Maybe this was a con artist that just did not have a grasp on geography at all. You know? And then, I mean, they left him in a hotel room. How far off the ground would, maybe he just jumped out the window and escaped? I don't know. But it would be, you know, in the back of my mind, sometimes I kind of fantasize about taking one of these urban legends and tracking it down, mm-hmm. researching it back to its origins and finding out mm-hmm. what was the story. Is there any veracity to it? Is it just based on single news reports? Because that's hard to believe, something like that, you know. But I just don't know how or where I would even start. But hopefully somebody can do that and make a podcast out of it for me.
Yeah. Wow. Well, the guy who's going to co-host as a guest that Legend episode, his show is called The Southern Spectre. And It is really cool. And all his show really talks about is legends. And he goes into detail about them. Now, he has done a few true crime-ish type episodes. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I think his show is mostly legends. And he's going to guest with me. He has legends that he's chosen for New Year's Eve. And it's going to air on New Year's Eve. And it should just be those about legends of New Year's Eve and
this
New Year's
one
Day.
The Southern Spectre podcast, Strange Tales and Legends.
Yes,
subscribe.
You'll like interested. It you'll like it. Okay. And he has a great voice for podcasting. Are you kidding?
Ooh,
me
even better.
Don't you love that when a male podcaster has that deep, like, welcome, you know? Like, I just
yes
love
I
it.
Do
his intro.
Have you ever
was
listened
awesome.
To True Crime Garage?
I don't know that I have.
Oh, well, they're a true crime podcast, and they both have just spot-on, fantastic podcasting voices, and they're one of the more popular true crime podcasts. They have a huge listenership, so they have all the equipment, and one of the guys on there, I think, is actually a sound engineer.
Nice.
So, like, they've got, like, I love, especially the one called, it's Nick and the Captain are the two guys on it, and the Captain has just a, like, fabulous nice. Voice.
You know,
I'm a sucker
so funny.
For a deep voice.
The let me look at the date. My episode that came out on November 5th, it's episode 35 with Chris Lay. His podcast show is called The Good All Around Us. He does it with his wife.
Okay.
And it's very uplifting, good-hearted stories about people doing great things and all that kind of stuff, which is really cool. But he, not only does he have an amazing voice for podcasting, he also is a voice actor. Like, he does voiceover things. So during the show, he did a SpongeBob impression. That was really cool. But yeah, I love it when people have that good voice for podcasting.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think my brother, who's on a lot of episodes with me on my podcast, has a great deep voice for podcasting. And I've been meaning to have him do some voiceover for me in his, like, movie preview guy voice, which is perfect. I'm just like, say this for me real quick. Yeah. I'm going to use it later.
My husband and I joke about that all the time. But we really just walk by and we're like, desire, you know, like... In a world cast out
in a world
from society. I don't know.
There is something, and it saddens me that with my woman's voice, I can't get that deep. It's just not the same thing for me to be like, in a world where bloody, 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 blah. And then, like, my brother does it or my husband does it. And I'm like, yeah you did it better.
Yeah.
Got to admit.
Yeah. Indeed. Well, thank you so much for coming on and telling us your spooky stories. They were really, really cool. And if anything else weird happens to you, you definitely let me know so we can have you back on. Because
I definitely will.
We're all about the spooky things here at True Hauntings and Scary Stories. So quickly, I am starting to offer podcasting editing services to people. Now, I am not any big... audio expert, but I have been editing my show for 7-ish months now. So I feel comfortable with doing some light editing for people. If you want that kind of thing, you can just go to truehauntings.com, and there is a post in my About Me section that you can read up on what I'm offering to do for people if that's your jam. If not, totally ignore all that I just said. So, Heather, tell us again how people can contact you if they want to, or where they can find your show or whatever.
Yes. Well, if you want to contact me, you can email me at wnwypodcast@outlook.com. Nobody ever does that, though, so I will not be offended if you don't email me about something. If you want to follow me on social media, I am on Instagram at WNWYPodcast, on Facebook at Watching Netflix Without You, and on MeWe, the page is just called Watching Netflix Without You. So those are all the social media options. And you can listen to the podcast pretty much on any podcast app. I would be surprised if there was one now that didn't have it on it. So
nice.
Wherever you want.
Awesome sauce. I highly recommend her show. It's very interesting. Aww. I love that you do the beginning part where it's spoiler free and you just kind of lightly talk about the movie and then or show. And then the second half of the show is where the spoilers happen. So I love that you have it separated kind of like that. So,
yes, I did that on purpose because that's how I prefer movie reviews to be, because sometimes I'm looking at the review to decide, do I want to watch it or not?
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm looking at the review to be like, who agrees with me about this point? Must find.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. All right. Well, guys, you know where to find me. TrueHauntings.com will get you pretty much wherever you want to go. I will spook you later.